Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today we are going to look at the way we can be bold in prayer. And the scripture we're going to use is found in Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 8. And there you read, "And he said unto them, Who of you would have a friend that you can go to at midnight and say to that friend, My friend, lend me 3 loaves, for someone has come to me, and I have nothing to place before them. And he from within shall answer and say, Please don't bother me right now. My door is shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give you what you're asking for. But he will still get up and give to him because he is his friend, and also because his friend will be very bold in his approach, in rising and giving him as much as he needs." Now, when we first come to the teaching that the Lord gives in the Sermon on the Mount about prayer, he talks about how if you ask, you'll receive, seek, and you shall find. And he's trying to stress this in this particular portion of scripture here found in Luke's gospel, when he talks about how God doesn't just want us to pray only for ourselves, but also for those perishing around us. Because in intercession, that great boldness can be brought before God and can be really pleasing to him as a friend pleading for another friend. Because in this prayer, or in this portion, the prayer that is being made is to a friend to give him because somebody has shown up at his doorstep that's in need, and he wants to provide for him, but he can't do that, so he has to go to his friend. And this is what the parable is really telling us, that there's a true blessing with intercession if we really understand it properly. And this is the basis for our asking, seeking, knocking, and how we get into the place of truly representing Christ. Because if we really look at this particular scripture, we'll notice first the love that seeks to help the needy around us. Because he says, hey, someone's come to me. So they basically point out that this person comes to him. It's someone that they're considering to be a friend, someone they're being friendly to. And then they point out the need that comes from this situation. I have nothing that I can set before this person. As a result of having nothing to set before this person, they go into the cry that comes into the situation to help for the need. For Jesus points out the person is a friend that is being approached, and this is the person to whom the intercessor asked for 3 loaves. And then he basically stamps onto this the idea of a refusal that comes, a refusal to let go, because you're going to hold on to this. Because even though the guy says, I cannot rise and give you what you want, the person who's making the plea perseveres even in the face of the refusal. Even when they believe that God answers no, they persevere in prayer even more. And it's because of their importunity, their boldness, their continually coming into prayer, that the reward of prayer comes through, that they are given whatever they need. This is a very wonderful illustration of true prayer and faith when we're truly seeking a blessing from God. So we need to understand that we need to be able to show love, have that need, know who we're to go to in confidence, and to basically persevere even if we believe that there's a no answer being given to us. Because the main thought of prayer in this sense is the appeal to the friendship of God. Because we find this in this lesson here being suggested by the person going to a friend to ask for the things that he needs to be able to take care of somebody else. And it's how prayer works. You're going to God as a friend. You're basically in a relationship with God, and it's because of God's friendship to us and ours to others that we truly become great intercessors and are able to pray for others. Because Even though the other person might have great liberty and going to God and praying for themselves, there's something unique about it when we pray for other people, when we use our standpoint of praying for somebody else. It's why the communion of saints is what it is, to where you're not just going to God all by yourself, but you can pray that a saint or an angel like Saint Michael the Archangel can bring a petition before God so that your prayer can be heard, so that your petition can be heard. And we're dealing with this as friends, getting into this key of how we are related to one another. And we see that prayer has two basic uses. The first is to obtain strength and blessing for our own particular lives. The other is a higher and more true glory in prayer, by which we seek Christ's fellowship in intercession, and we become part of the entire body of Christ, where our prayer becomes the royal power of a child of God, being exercised on behalf of somebody else, not just for themselves. We see this in Scripture on how different intercessions, like Abraham's intercession for the Sodom and Gomorrah, led for Lot to be saved from among them. Moses, when he interceded on behalf of the Israelites when they had offended God. Samuel and Elijah are two more examples in the Old Testament. And all these men in old times, and even if we go to the New Testament, we see miracles like James and Peter and John, when they're raising the man that was born a paralytic that asked him for coin in Acts chapter 4, or when Paul raises Lydia from the dead when she dies, and other things that go on throughout the Scriptures along those lines. So we get to see that when we give ourselves to be a blessing to others, we can especially count on God blessing us to allow us the ability to be this external blessing. So we get to draw near to God as a friend of the poor and the perishing, and we can count on his friendliness in this. And we can be that righteous man whose prayer avails much, because we're a friend of the poor, not just a special friend of God. And that's what really gives us true liberty in prayer. In fact, when we go to pray, we should have this as our basic idea, that we pray, "Oh Lord, I have this needy person, this friend that I must help. As a friend, I've undertaken to help this person. In you, I have a friend whose kindness and riches I know is infinite, and I'm sure that you'll give me what I asked. So if I, being an evil person, am ready to do this for my friend, I know that I can ask this of you, my Heavenly Father, and you'll do whatever it is that I'm asking for this other person." And the question in this whole little thing suggests that as the fatherhood of God goes forth, it should give us the confidence to prayer, to receive answers to prayer when we approach him as a friend, because we know that friends will do things for friends that other people won't do, because a friend will basically give us more in some cases than a parent will, because a parent is more concerned about our benefit. But when we're actually looking out for somebody else, there's more of a natural love and kindness that is more free and independent and sympathetic in our character, because it sees us on a different level. So the Lord unfolds for us the spiritual mystery of prayer, shows us a deeper desire that he has for us, and acknowledges to us that if we truly act as friends of his, we'll gain his blessing in life to be able to be a blessing to others. And this is why the communion of saints work the way it does, because when we do ask for the blessing of somebody else, it's not just their merit on our behalf. It's the fact that they're asking as a friend for somebody else. They see the need that we have. They are concerned about us. So naturally, that shows that it is a natural need of God that he has seen in us. So we have the confidence of the witness of others for the needs that we bring before him. And if we are truly living as God's friends, if we're truly a child and not a wanderer, our friendship is seen in how we relate to each other, because you won't do something if it offends a friend because you value that friendship. So in a sense, your lifestyle is more of a Christian character lifestyle because you're maintaining a friendship. A spouse cannot just expect their loved one to stay with them if they're committing adultery. You can't break the bonds of a relationship in order to truly have the benefits of the relationship. So there is this living righteous, being more than what it is, and really understanding that your conduct shows the kind of friendship that you have. Because Jesus said in John's gospel before he died, in what's known as the last discourse or the Last Supper discourse that's found in John 14 through 17, that he calls us his friends. And he says, "You're my friends if you do whatever I command you." And you'll see that faith is wrought by works, because it's by works made perfect that the scripture is fulfilled. It says that Abraham believed in God and he was called a friend of God. This is what was being talked about by James in his second epistle, in his letter, when he talks about faith without works is dead, being alone, because Abraham believed in God and was therefore called a friend of God. So it's in that same spirit that leads us to pray to God and really approach him as a friend, to truly seek blessings for those around us. And this is kind of what we're being told, because it says, "Likewise also, in the same way that the Spirit helps us in prayer, it's the life of the friend of God that gives the wonderful liberty for us to approach God on behalf of others, even if we have to go to him at midnight." And this is kind of the example that's being brought out in the Gospel of Luke here. And it's telling us that if we truly go in the spirit of being a friend and manifest every kind of kindness that God asked us to do toward one another, then we can come to God in prayer. And we can see that he's always looking for the motive behind our petition. And if it's merely for our own comfort or joy that we seek his grace, he can refuse us, because that's a selfish motive. But when we go in and we're looking for his glory to be dispensed upon blessing others, then we know we're not seeking in vain. We can really ask and receive, seek and find, knock and have the door open to us, because we can go at midnight and seek out loaves of bread from a friend. We can knock on his door and have his door open, and we can seek out this help that comes from him that we'll find in that midnight hour. Because if we ask for others and wait on God to do it, there's no sacrifice in the act for us, but we will obtain if we've already taken on this effort. I'm kind of reminded of a man by the name of George Mueller. He's kind of a Protestant minister that lived in England, I believe, in the 1800s. And he undertook to found a couple orphanages. And his determination was simply, he wouldn't seek to try to do these big schemes that you see with people nowadays when they're trying to raise funds for church buildings or to start a ministry, or even as ridiculous as some have tried to say, "Let's buy me an airplane." He basically went off and he went into prayer, and he prayed to God to be able to open these orphanages and be able to support kids that were being neglected in England during that period of time. And it's the kind of care that was made famous in Charles Dickens's Oliver Twist novel, because these were the kind of orphanages that were made available. And they were basically skimping on food because they didn't have enough supply for everyone. But in George Mueller's case, he went forth and he wanted to do this ministry, and he prayed for it, and he was able to run, I believe it was 8 or 9 total orphanages, by simply going to God in prayer, presenting the needs of these orphan children and asking him to supply. And a lot of times he got the answers to his prayers met by this. And he's just a Protestant minister doing this. We can look at other ministries like that of St. Teresa of Calcutta and her great work in India in recent years. This is the Mother Teresa, for those who are not 100% aware of who she is by calling her St. Teresa of Calcutta. But she was able to do the exact same thing with those who are dying in the streets and the poor in her little town of Calcutta, India. And it shows you that God is looking for us to undertake a needy friend, to see in our poverty that we still need to do something and to seek God so that our prayer can be heard. Because the one thing by which we can truly honor and really know God is by exhibiting true faith, by moving the mountain faith, by truly having faith in God, confidence in Him, and realizing that if we truly take part in a relationship with Him as friends, we can be the kind of intercessors that bring down the blessings that God answers prayer with, whether it's healing for others, whether it's financial needs for others, or whatever, that we're meeting those needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. It's why societies like St. Vincent de Paul and homeless shelters are a great way in modern society, where like the Salvation Army can provide beds for those who need beds and stuff like that. And it's something really a big thing that God's always looking forward to. And all we really have to do is ask ourselves some simple questions. Is our friendship with the needy so real that we take the time and sacrifice that we'll even pray at midnight and not cease until we get that blessing from God that we obtain? If your answer is yes, you'll know that you can be a true intercessor and intercede for others in this particular field. It's also to know whether or not your friendship with God is so clear that you can depend on Him not to turn away and hear you as you pray, because you're actually living that righteous lifestyle. You're not committing sins and hiding them. You're actually walking with Him in a way that truly shows the love that you have for Him. Because it's only there, when you really understand how persevering prayer works, that you really get into faith and intercession the way that it's meant to be for each one of us. Because God promises and tries to fix for us the things that we will seek for Him for someone else, because we're not doing it selfishly. We're actually seeking it for somebody else's benefit. We're looking for them to be healed. We're looking for them to truly understand what the gospel is, because this is the faith that truly does see the promise and embraces it as it really ought to be. Because he trains us in a school of prayer delayed, how to persevere until we do prevail. It's not so much that God answers no, it's that God sometimes wants us to continually keep asking Him. Remember the woman that approached Him in the Judges story. It was because she continually bothered Him that she got what she wanted as a result. He saw her and gave a decision in her favor. And this is how prayer sometimes doesn't actually come right away, because it's in our trusting in prayer through the trial of faith that really does make prayer work. In the trial of faith and persevering and not taking that first no when He says, hey, I'm with my kids in bed, I can't rise up right now and give it to you, but continually to keep asking, to keep boldness, to be importunate, basically in His face continually, that we get answers to prayer. Because we're supposed to pray without ceasing. We're supposed to hold on in faith, believing that we receive until we receive it in reality, because that is the faith moving mountains, faith in God kind of prayer that we're supposed to have. And it's one that truly does take hold of the promise and stands on that promise until it receives the full fulfillment of what is being claimed as a vital truth from an unseen but living God. Because each child knows when they're going before a parent that sometimes you have to ask more than once. Mommy, can I have this bike? Mommy, can I have this bike? Mommy, can I have this bike? Mommy, can I? Eventually, she wears down and gives you the candy, right? Or the bike, or whatever it is. But this is how God also trains us to stop being selfish and really get to the heart of what it is our desire is. Because the Master uses this great parable. Our Lord Jesus Christ uses this great parable, showing us first the unfriendliness of the earthly friend that is conquered by simply perseverance, and tells us how much more can we avail with our heavenly friend who loves to give but sometimes holds back because of spiritual unfitness or an incapacity of us to possess what he has decided to give. And it's only in delaying the answer that he's educating us and giving us a chance to grow, because as Peter tells us, it's the trying of our faith through patience that really makes faith grow. And this is the very important thing, because we need to be trained to live with him, to develop a fellowship of undoubting faith and trust, and to truly be friends of his, to truly understand that we can go with our hungry friend that's needing help. We can be the praying friend that's asking for help, and we can see God as the mighty friend that loves us so much to give us everything that we need, because this is the heart of the gospel for each one of us. So with this in mind, I want us to just kind of let our minds calm down for a second and just let these words go through our hearts. My blessed Lord and teacher, we all come to you right now in prayer. We understand that this teaching about prayer is so glorious, but it's not something too high and above us for us to grasp. For we confess that our hearts can be too small at times to comprehend the very thoughts of the wonderful boldness that you asked us to use in approaching God our Father as our friend. O Lord Jesus, we trust in you to give us the spirit of your word and to make your word quick and powerful in our hearts so that we desire to keep it above all else, especially the word that says, because of his importunity, he will give him as many as is needed. Lord, teach me to know more of the power of persevering prayer. I see that my Father knows our need in the time of our inner life and seeks to attain growth and ripeness. And so sometimes his grace may indeed be assimilated at a later date than when I truly planned. But it's then that we truly know that we have been trained to exercise a strong faith that does not let go of you, even in the face of what would be a seeming disappointment. I know that you want to lift all of us up into this wonderful liberty in which we can understand how God makes a dispensing gift depending upon our continual prayers. For Lord, I say I know this, but I still need you to teach each one of us how to pray in spirit and truth in this manner. Now that it may be our joy to find our rich friend in heaven, our heavenly Father, the one who cares for all the hungry and perishing even at midnight, that we can continue to proceed in confidence and pray to him and persevere and receive all that we need, because we do not stop approaching him. We do not accept no as the answer, because we know your love. And we trust in it, O Lord Jesus. Amen. I want to give you this chance to really take that prayer, make it a meditation today, so that you yourself can move forward into the blessings of God in Christ Jesus and really know what it means to persevere and really have the boldness that's required of God's friends. Because if you will, then you'll begin today. Today will truly be a blessed day for you.